Will Site C get an interim F from the BC Utilities Commission? A preliminary report on the review of the Site C mega dam is due today from the BC Utilities Commission. Latest word, though, is that the report might not come out until after 5 o'clock. Joining me right now is Robert McCullough, international energy expert, a principal at McCullough Research, and adjunct professor of economics at Portland State University. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
I understand, Robert, that you've prepared several submissions for the BCUC, including a response to both the Deloitte and BC Hydro submissions. Tell us about those.
Yes, indeed, we have. We reviewed the 800 pages of the BC Hydro materials. There was little new information in that. There's not much detail, but when we opened the Deloitte report, we were very surprised. Deloitte, as you know, is a nationally recognized firm. They put together two very detailed reports. Those came out a little over a week ago. They have a lot of criticism on BC Hydro. The first report went through the construction. They pointed out that there was a very real chance we would have significant delays and cost overrun. They went into a level of detail that none of us, not the experts nor the press, had had access to before. The second report was about the economics, per se. That indicated that they could build, Deloitte could model alternatives to the Site C that were both less expensive and met all of the environmental concerns and aims. Now, that doesn't surprise us. That certainly it is true pretty much across the continent, everywhere but British Columbia. But it was nice to actually finally see this stated by sophisticated experts from British Columbia.
Robert, who's brought you into this project? You're down in Portland, Oregon.
Well, we actually are still wearing bear skins and paddling around in sandals down here, but once in a while people do talk to us. Our client in this are the farmers in the Peace River Valley.
Right.
We work widely across Canada, ranging from industrials like Alcan and Abitibi Paper to Aboriginal groups over the years, and have worked in six different provinces on major projects.
Before we move on, I just want to point out to our listeners, what was your involvement with the Enron trading investigations?
Well, on May 22, 2000, I was in Montreal listening to the CEO of Enron, Ken Lay, and my cell phone went off, and it was major industrials and utilities on the West Coast calling me to ask if I had an explanation for the massive increase in prices, factor of 10, that occurred that day. So we undertook our own investigation, and gradually, we were borne out as being correct, and we were eventually hired by the U.S. Department of Justice to help on the prosecutions and by a variety of other parties to work on the civil. And so I had the honor of finding some of the famous Enron trader tapes, and generally my presentation to the U.S. Senate is regarded as the real start of the trading investigation.
Okay. That is incredibly notable. I wanted our listeners to hear that and the level of expertise that is being brought in to the Site C Dam. And I think I stopped you mid-flow there while you told us about your bear skins and the like.
Well, so, no, I do have a comment, though, that is very topical.
Yes.
One of our clients in Quebec sent me an email this morning noting that Monsieur Couillard, and I may have mispronounced his name, and I apologize.
Quebec Premier Philippe Couillard, yeah.
Yeah. As stated in a speech in the U.S., that the day of big dams is now over. And what an amazing statement for a Quebecer, considering that Hydro-Quebec is probably the major single hydroelectric developer on the continent.
Yeah,
that is very interesting for British Columbia. He is certainly not a wild-eyed environmentalist. He is certainly not a fly-by-night situation. This is the considered opinion of the owner of one of the largest hydroelectric utilities from the country.
Okay.
So we really are having a fair amount of evidence going on that it's time for British Columbia to reconsider its path and to choose something using a portfolio of other renewables that are less likely to run into major delays or cost overruns, and certainly much, much easier to build.
Robert, $1.8 billion has already been spent on this project. I think in a lot of people's minds, the question is it going to cost too much money to stop this? And what about the 1.8 lost, if that happens?
Well, I think the $1.8 billion loss is lost. It's a sunk cost. When we reviewed the economics, we did several adjustments. We took the 1.8 off the $8.8 billion price tag. We also made a number of other adjustments, and it still comes across much, much higher than price of power in power markets or the cost of a portfolio of renewables. The key here, and this is really what's driving it all, the cost of renewables like wind and solar have reduced 50% over the past 5 years. And every forecast indicates they're continuing to go down. And this is not magic. This is assembly line economics. We actually do better when we produce 1,000 wind turbines than when we produce the first 100. And now when we are installing renewables at a rapid pace all the way across North America and Europe and China, the economies of scale have set in with a vengeance. And so in Oregon and Washington, who, as we know, are virtually the same geographically, certainly culturally, very close politically, we have 10 times as much wind as we have in British Columbia. And that economic shift is just dominating the market.
So what you're saying is that this is possible. I imagine the winds howl up in the Peace, but do you want big windmills up? Something, those are a blight on the countryside.
Well, certainly different people view things differently. When you work for a utility, there are beautiful pictures of hydroelectric dams. And environmentalists don't see the beauty in them at all. I don't think we will ever end up with an energy source that we don't have to site somewhere. But our experience with wind is we have a wide variety of sites. Most of the sites in Oregon and Washington surround the bend on the Columbia River. And so one doesn't actually have to drive by them every day or have picnics under them. I was certainly opposed putting a wind farm in some beautiful, picturesque area of Victoria Island. I mean, of Vancouver Island. We just wouldn't do that.
Robert, we're going to take a break right now and come back to you. We're with Robert McCullough, international energy expert, principal at McCullough Research, and adjunct professor of economics at Portland State University. We're talking about the Site C Dam, BC Utilities Commission's interim report due today. I'm Pamela McCall. You're listening to BC Today. Hi, welcome back to BC Today. Thanks so much for listening. We're talking about the fact that the BC Utilities Commission is releasing its interim report today. We understand that it will happen after the close of business. So that's interesting to note. We're with Robert McCullough, international energy expert and a principal at McCullough Research and adjunct professor in economics at Portland State University. Robert, what do you make of the delay that, or at least the BCUC is on record saying they're really running to a close deadline here. What do you think that means? I mean, it was just a lot of time to get a lot of work done. A little time to get a lot of work done.
Well, there's a toy that most of us have seen in our lives called a magic eight ball. And I keep one on my desk, and you shake it, and it gives you the answer at random to a question. It's beyond me to predict a political process. But in defense of them, this is complicated work. They have a new computer model that is proposed by Deloitte. They have a lot of comments, 4,000 pages of comments. They have a variety of materials from BC Hydro, some of which were just posted. We haven't even reviewed those yet. So my guess is that the tight time frame is very difficult for them to work with. And so I certainly respect the sheer pressure they must be under.
What if the interim report comes out and it looks like this thing should proceed?
We're having that same problem in the United States. As you know, President Trump has called off global warming and announced that we're going to build more coal plants. But the reality is that economics trumps politics in the end. We're not going to build any more coal plants because renewables are now cheaper than coal plants, and luckily, vastly better for global warming. The same thing is true of these mega dams. Mega dams in Manitoba and certainly the one in Newfoundland have proposed enormous economic crises on ratepayers and taxpayers. And
yeah.
We expect similar impacts in British Columbia. So even if somehow they decide to disregard the good news from the Deloitte report, the reality is still going to be out there. Massive rate increases, cost overruns, delays, all of which would, even after this decision, question going on ahead with it. In a world in which there are better choices, they don't go away simply because one tribunal doesn't see the merit.
Who should bear the responsibility of the $1.8 billion? I mean, this is a BC Liberal-backed project without the oversight from the BC Utilities Commission.
Well, and there is a serious error in process. Before anyone spends $8.8 billion, one has to go over every fact, every model, every computer study with a fine-tooth comb, and we really never did that. The BCUC are the people who would have the capability and the responsibility to do it. The New York Times did a review of this study about a year ago, and they called me and said, why was there no regulatory review? And I said, well, it's very hard for us to understand. This is very exceptional.
Why is the New York Times interested in the Site C Dam in British Columbia?
Well, that's a good question. I think because they regard themselves as the most important paper in the world. Yes, it is a little different. And they also have articles about how foolish the people of Portland, Oregon are. But nonetheless, I think they are interested in the overall environmental questions having to do with reducing boreal forests and other impacts. So they've covered issues like this in Quebec and other provinces in the past.
Robert, sometimes people say, why are we talking about Site C again? I want to get back to what this means to the average household should this go through. Muskrat Falls that you spoke of earlier is going to put a lot on homeowners. What if this goes through, do you have any idea how much our hydro bills are going to soar?
I don't, and there's a reason for that. The previous government also did something very curious. They allowed some of the costs of Site C not to be borne by ratepayers, but be borne directly by taxpayers. And so this has led us to this very unusual situation where something on the order of 20% of the bill is going to show up in your tax statement, and then the remaining 80% is going to show up in your electric bill. And this not only is very strange, but it's also very difficult to estimate, because we really would have to know what's happening on the future tax bills to go further. Our experience in other provinces, of course, is draconian. The utility in Manitoba is proposing a 50% rate increase for two dams and a transmission line that are being built on basically the same schedule as Site C. There's no question that the largest single public investment in British Columbia's history is going to have a very dramatic impact on the bottom line, consumers and taxpayers. But frankly, we never had the regulatory review, so it's very hard to figure out what the bottom line is without it.
It took the NDP 52 days after the election to get into office. How do you think that time delay factored into the timeline that the BC Utilities Commission is now running on?
Well, I wish that the commission had an extra 52 days. The order in council has a very tight schedule. In defense of BC Hydro, they have 1,000 or 2,000 guys out working on this now. But the reality is, we really do not know much about this project. The most information we've had on this project was contained in the two studies from Deloitte, which is, I'm sorry to be tactless, it's preposterous. It's incompetent. It's the wrong way to do business. Any corporation would never dream of such a major investment with such a limited review. And I've worked for major corporations.
Who'd you work for?
Well, on our client list are everyone from Alcan, Abitibi. We've worked for utilities in Canada, such as Edmonton. In the U.S., we've worked for Weyerhaeuser, Boise Cascade, Georgia Pacific, Hewlett-Packard, quite a list. And when you're sitting in the executive suite of one of these major companies, they are not taking a flyer. They are very deliberate, and they are very careful to consider all of the options, and they still make mistakes. So for us to have waited all these years before the regulatory review simply was not a good idea. And I thought you were going to ask whether I thought that the members of Parliament who were liberals should all get a special individual bill. I don't think that's a good idea. But I have to say, compared to industry standards in North America, this is a very unusual process.
How does this stack up with the Enron trading investigations that your testimony is credited in front of the Senate Energy Committee as prompting the Enron trading investigations?
Well, number one, I don't think anyone believes that there is any criminal activity here. And there may be some questions having to do with judgment and process. There is one resemblance here that does need to be noted, which is transparency. Though Canada and the United States share a common origin and very common values, almost all electric and natural gas decisions in the United States are public. Every document is public. You can actually go look up all of the documents on the web. That's not true in British Columbia. And the cost of a lack of transparency is it makes making a mistake much easier. When I hire a new member of my staff, I always say this is one job for telling the boss he's wrong will get you a raise. The fact is, when we do something, we always want that criticism. We always want that feedback.
Robert, I'm going to jump in here because we're pressed for time. Do you think that the Site C dam is going to go ahead? Will it proceed?
My magic eight ball does not extend to British Columbia politics. But I've got to tell you, it is running a race in which it is far, far behind the alternative.
Robert, it's been fascinating speaking to you. I'd like to visit you if I come down to Portland. It's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you for your perspective.
You're always welcome to Portland. Thank you.
I'll bring my fur. Robert McCullough, international energy expert, principal at McCullough Research and an adjunct professor of economics at Portland State University. I'm Pamela McCall. Great to have you with us. You're listening to BC Today.